Welcome, everybody, to our first medical halacha chabura. I want to just start by introducing myself. So I'm Ashi Schreier. I'm the assistant rabbi here in the Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst. My qualifications, that's a good question you are all asking, but my qualifications are I have smicha. I work in healthcare, which is not, I guess, really so helpful for this situation. I work in home care, so I'm really behind the scenes as opposed to actually practicing. But this is a topic and an idea and a chabura that it's really just an honor to be part of. It's an honor to take part, really, in any type of thing like this. I do want to make it clear when it comes to real psak of these types of serious questions that you guys are all dealing with on a daily basis. That's for people with much larger figurative shoulders than myself. And those people should certainly be consulted. We're so lucky that in our communities we have so many people that are so advanced in all of these types of questions and all of these types of things. But it's important, though, that we are able to familiarize ourselves with the different sugyas and with the different topics. That being said, so this is our source sheet for tonight. I know it's small and it's Hebrew. Don't worry, we're going to describe everything. But the reason why I did it like this is just so we have reference during our chabura, because after the chabura, whoever signs up for our on this sheet that Dr. Huberfeld will give out, whoever signs up for it will have some sort of sign-up sheet here. So there's a much more expanded version of all the makoros in Hebrew and English and all of the descriptions and everything there, which is the basis of this chabura from Rabbi Sprung. But really, again, just an absolute honor to be here. I met with Dr. Huberfeld and Dr. Wegg a while ago at Dr. Huberfeld's house with Rabbi Sprung, and we got to discuss a little bit about what this chabura could potentially look like. So the goal is just to expose ourselves to different issues that come up, because, again, just like everything else in life, when we put on our halachic glasses, that when we look at the world through the Jewish point of view, and there's always so much. I always like to talk about current events and halacha and Jewish thought. So you look at the takeover of Twitter, you look at the elections, you look at all these different things. Everything is really a halachic shaila, is a Jewish-related discussion if we just put on those glasses. So I thank you all for being here to start this discussion. I also want to thank Dr. Huberfeld again, because he was saying that, oh, he's hoping he's going to be able to come. He's been working on this for so long. He's expecting a grandchild, Mirch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, Shalom Zachar, Friday night, and the baby just came home tonight. I told him, baby's really nice to come home, but I think this is more important. No, I'm talking about it.
He literally just walked in the door 20 minutes.
And there it is. And he's here giving an introduction nonetheless.
He'll still be there when I get back.
But really, just amazing. So just a few points of introduction before we get into this. So this topic was hand-selected by Dr. Huberfeld because there were other topics that I guess are more lumdish related. You know, you can have triage questions and what do you do in certain priorities in terms of medical halacha. But this was something which I think is one of the few things that I could say that rabbis can, I guess, have this overlap with doctors on, is there ever such thing as time off? You know, someone was telling me when I was talking to someone about this, they said that they say the story that a doctor was talking to a lawyer, and the doctor was just fascinated. He's like, how could it be that no matter where I go, everyone's always asking me, you know, this, this, and that, but no one's ever talking to you about these types of law things? And he explained, well, the reason is because they talk to me for 10 minutes, I bill them $500, and doctors don't necessarily do that. He's like, oh, wow, that's a great idea. The next day, he gets a bill for $500 for talking to the lawyer about this idea of what he's of how he can go and help. But, you know, just again, you know, when we're dealing especially with Jewish people in the community, we're big fans of Jewish people here. We love them. Modi, I think, has a routine. I don't know if anyone's seen it. His routine was that a lot of these COVID questionnaires were a bit anti-Semitic because they asked, do you have any aches or pains? Do Jewish people have any aches or pains? Always. Everyone always has aches or pains. Does this hurt you? Does that hurt you? Yeah, we have a lot of things that hurt us. We have a lot of things that are bothering us.
What is that?
Yeah, all of the above, right? So it's definitely a lot. But this bottom, the real question that comes up and the way that it's kind of framed is you're at a simcha. You're at a family simcha. And someone comes over to you, oh, Dr. Kellner, just because I see him right here. Dr. Kellner, you know, I know you're here to celebrate your grandchild's bar mitzvah or your this, whatever it is. But if you wouldn't mind just taking a few minutes to come look at this, and of course, Dr. Kellner wants to go ahead and do it. Sorry for picking on you. Of course, Dr. Kellner wants to go ahead and do it, and that's what he's been doing all his life nonstop, every second. But he wants to go ahead and also enjoy the simcha. Where is that line? How do we draw that line in terms of making sure that you can live your own life, that you can go ahead and maybe say no sometimes? It's very hard because, again, people come over in every situation. Oh, no, not everyone knows that you've had a full day and that you've been dealing with a full day. So to them, this might be their first interaction with you, but you're tired. It's been a long day. You've been working nonstop. You have to go to that person. Has to go see this. Of course you want to. And of course you want to do whatever you can to help, but it's not always so easy. So this is what we're going to look at in terms of the halachic element of this discussion. Now, obviously, I think we can go and make a distinction between something which is life-threatening and something which is a paper cut. We can go ahead and figure out that there's definitely going to be a distinction there, but let's go a little bit into the sugya to see if there is anything more to say about it, and obviously there is, otherwise this would be a really quick shiur. So, not everyone's anti that. Let's look at source number one for a minute, and this is really where the story starts, and I'm glad that Dr. Huberfeld started by the end of this Shulchan Aruch, because that is not the part that we are going to focus on tonight, but let's look at source number one for just a minute. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Nasna Torah HaRishus L'Rofei L'Rapos. So doctors have permission to go ahead and heal. Now this is a bit of an assumption, because based on pure Torah law, it's not necessarily so clear. If you really had emunah and bitachon, you'd really feel, if I'm sick, then God's going to heal me. Now we know that we can't go ahead and live like that. No, here, I only have one. We have more? Okay. You know, one other thing is Dr. Huberfeld was talking about getting the licensing degree. Everyone talks about the Rambam as a big Talmud Chacham, wrote the Mishnah Torah, wrote his, you know, Kol HaTorah Kula, but also as a doctor. The Rambam didn't have to go to all those years of medical school. It's a little bit different. Unclear what he would have done if, you know, before I was here, I was the rabbi in Forest Hills. We had a lot of residents, and people were going, they had a lot of years left to go. It was fellowship and residency, and oh, you all know this stuff, and there's a lot of years that go into it, so it makes you think. The Rambam read a book, and he was the top doctor. It's a little bit different, not to belittle the Rambam, an amazing doctor, an amazing player, but a lot to discuss. So anyway, so the Torah gives us reshus for doctors to go and heal. Now, that assumption is based on the fact that there were certain mefarshim who said, if you really had emunah and bitachon, then you wouldn't need a doctor. If God's going to heal you, then great. If not, not. Now, we know that we have to put in our hishtavus. We have to do what we can to go ahead and make ourselves healthy. And this really applies in all realms of life. So we can't go ahead and just make that assumption. But this is the first thing. Umitzvah. It's a mitzvah to become a doctor. So number one thing you should take away from tonight. Kudos to all of you. Good mitzvah you guys are all doing. And this is life-saving. Now, this is a line that has caused a lot of issues over the year. If you prevent yourself from going and helping in some sort of situation, it's as if, shofech dam, now that's a bit extreme to say that it's as if you've killed. That's a bit extreme. We're going to have to figure out what exactly that means. This is actually the source. Rav Yashav was asked a question by a doctor. I guess that's someone in the more Haredi neighborhoods who's holding, going through these halacha nonstop, and they would go over to this doctor in that neighborhood and they'd say, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And he needed a minute to breathe. He needed a minute to take something to himself, and he would say, oh, Shulchan Aruch says you're shofech damim. So the guy said, I can't take this anymore. He wrote to Rebel Yashav. We'll get to that tshuva a little bit later as to how exactly we're supposed to interact with that. But he was being harassed in that way based on the Shulchan Aruch. It's as if you're killing. Now, all of this, it's very important to understand this in the context of burnout in terms of everything. We know burnout is something very serious, especially amongst doctors, apparently. I was reading some articles about it. And policymakers, you guys can all tell me better than that, but policymakers are trying to figure out ways to prevent doctor burnout, because we all know that it's better to be treated by doctors who are not burnt out. I think it's important. And obviously, it's important that people are able to have a life while also being a doctor. So that all of this has to be understood in that context as well. Now comes the key line in the Shulchan Aruch, what we're going to have to figure out again tonight. So you can't go and just refuse this care. Va'afilu yeshlo mishi yarpa'enu. Even if there's someone else there who's able to go ahead and give the care. It doesn't have to be you. There are 20 doctors in Tzul. Why does it have to be Dr. Kellner on the morning of his grandson's bar mitzvah? I know I'm fast-forwarding a lot of years. Sorry. Why does it have to be him on that morning of his simcha? Why does it have to be him? Even if there's another doctor, shelo min hakol adam zocha lehisrapos. Because the way it works, we know that we are all just messengers of God. If God wants someone to heal, they'll heal. Obviously, again, they have to find the right care. They have to put themselves in situations to be able to succeed. But we are messengers of Hashem. And not everyone is zocha to get healed by just anyone. Meaning, we are all put here for a purpose, for a reason. You are the shliach to be able to heal that person. Your patients are there to be able to be healed by you. It's a totally different way of viewing our doctor-patient relationship. Shouldn't say our. Your doctor-patient relationship. It's a totally different way of viewing it, but it's an important one. That you can't just say, I'll just go to a different doctor, because maybe you're the one who's supposed to have the zechus of curing that person. You have to know what you're talking about. If you're not qualified and you're trying to take on more than you are able to, that also is shofech damim. That's pretty obvious, we have to go and make sure of that. So all of this, again, we have to understand where this is coming from, what's this all about, because we need to balance a lot of factors here. On the one hand, we have doctors, they can't just go and refuse service, shofich damim in some capacity, it's as if you're killing in some way, we have to understand what that means. Number two, what does it mean that maybe you're specifically the person who has to be the one to save that other person? So that's going to have to be a factor, because otherwise, even if there are other doctors around, it might not make a difference. You might have to be the one to actually take this on. Now, again, this is important because in the middle of the simcha, in the middle of the whatever it is, it's a tough time for you. Do you have to be the person to see that patient at that time? It's not so easy. People don't necessarily think what the doctors had to go through that day before coming to you. So this is what we're going to have to look at. So in order to go back and maybe take a little bit of time to develop this topic and this sugya, let's look at a few gemaras and a few other sources in order to go and properly shape this sugya. But the way that all of this comes, again, the questions that come up, you have to answer every single call. Are you ever allowed to retire? Sorry, to in advance. The answer is yes, you can retire when you're ready. But, and when both parties, when everyone agrees to your retirement. So, again, how do we balance burnout? How do we balance all of these things? These are all the questions that we are going to have to try to figure out tonight. And again, in the context, emergencies versus paper cuts. And, you know, obviously those are the two extremes. But everything in between, we're going to have to figure out what to do. So let's look at the Gemara in source number two. Comes the Gemara and teaches us, Minayin l'roes chaver shu tovea b'naro chaya gararto listin boyin alav shu chayav ratzilo. So asks the Gemara a pretty basic question. We know, just intuitively, that if you're walking down the street and you see something happening, someone's in tremendous danger. So what's the first reaction nowadays? Take out your phone, you video it, right? That's obviously what everyone does. But really what you're supposed to do is save that person. If you see someone getting mugged, if you see someone drowning, if you see robbers going in, just someone struggling in some way, how do we know that you have to go and save them? Now, we know that it's true that you have to, but where does that come from? Comes the Gemara and says, Talmud Lomar, Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Rei Echa. The Pasuk says that we're not allowed to stand idly by while something's happening to someone else. We can't stand while the blood of our friend is just boiling over there. We can't allow this to happen on our watch. We need to make sure that we're doing what we can to save people. So ask the Gemara though, Vahame Hacha Nafka, is this really where we get it from? Mehasam Nafka. We really get it from over there, from a different place. Avedos Gufo Minayin. How do we know that you need to save somebody's life? Talmud Lomar Vahashe Vosa Lo. Because we know that there's a mitzvah known as Hashavas Aveda. Uncle Maishi already has songs about it. There's a long known mitzvah. Hashavas Aveda. If someone loses an object, you have to go and return it. So comes the Gemara and what it's in essence saying is, if it's true that you need to go and return an object to somebody, then of course, if you see that they're about to lose their life, you have to go and return that as well. So that seems to be the source for having to save someone. So which one is it? Is it lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, that you can't just stand there while something's happening to your friend? Or is it that you have to return a lost object, just like you have to return a lost object? Of course, you're going to have to return a life. Comes the Gemara and says, Ime Hasam, if it was just from over there, Hava Amina Hani Mili Benafshe, if it was just from Bahashe Vosalo, just from Hashava Saveda, you would think that's only true in terms of saving them physically. But how do we know that if you're not capable of saving them yourself, that you'd actually have to do more? Aval Mitrach Umegar Agure Emalo, you would think that if it requires me to pay some money for some doctor there or to do some other action in order to save them, even if it's not me myself, I would think not. Comes the Gemara and says, that's what Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Re'echa teaches me. So we have two sources for the fact that you need to go and save someone. We have the mixture, the combination of Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Re'echa, and then I guess most notably for doctors, that if you're going to be the one to save someone with your own physical body, that's going to come from Hashavas Aveda, the Pasuk of Vahashevosa Lo. Now, there's a machlokas in that Gemara between Rashi and the Ran. Dafyomi's going to get up to this. Well, I guess a different part of this. But we are going to see there's a big machlokes over here between Rashi and the Chidushei HaRan. Why? Says Rashi, the real source over here is Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Re'echa. The second Hashavas Aveda source is all secondary. That's not necessarily the real ikker. That's not the key source. The key source is really the first pasuk. Don't stand there while your friend is being trampled over. Don't just watch the blood of your friend boil. That's not what you're supposed to find. However, other Mefarshim point out, that is not, in fact, the true source. The real source is this combination of psukim. You have Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Re'echa, you have Hashava Saveda. That combination is what creates the chiyuv, what creates our obligation to go and save people, source sheets over there, to go and save people from this type of situation. So, Who cares about this machlokes? Who cares where we get it from? So comes Rav Shlomo Kluger and comments on the Shulchan Aruch. First, let's read the Shulchan Aruch, what the Shulchan Aruch has to say in source number 3. Now, this is in Choshen Mishpah, Nilchos Shminos HaNefesh, Simin Tav Chofav Se'if Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Haroa es chavero tovea bayam. If you see your friend drowning in the sea, O listen by a lover, he's getting mugged. O chayara ba'alav, or you see a dangerous animal attacking this person, instead of videoing it, what you're supposed to do is v'yachol lahatzilahu ba'atzmo, and you yourself are able to go ahead and save that person. O kishiyach, o sheyiskor achirim lahatzil, or you can hire someone else to save him. V'lo hitzil, and you don't. O sheshama ovei kolchavimah, and keeps going till the end. Let's skip to the last line. V'chayote bedvarim eil gives a lot of different examples of situations where you can save someone. Over al lo sa'amod al dam reyecha. Shulchan Aruch seems to tell us that it comes just from lo sa'amod al dam reyecha, not from the second element of hashavas aveda. Now back to our question, who cares where we get it from? It's a nice discussion, we can go and have a nice machlokas, but it's important that we figure out why we have this machlokas. Who cares, what's the difference? So comes Rav Shlomo Kluger and he says it actually makes a very big difference, and this is going to be our first qualification in terms of when maybe you'd have to treat someone versus maybe not.
It sounds only life and death, perhaps.
Okay, interesting. So that might be only life and death in one way.
Or how much you'd have to spend, right? Because if it's a fifth versus all your money.
Interesting also whether this is considered a mitzvah. Exactly. Right, so what these two suggestions are, number one is life and death, meaning versus just like a regular sickness. So we're going to have to figure out what you're really referring to is something that Rav Yashav talks about. If we're saying Hashavas Aveda, so we have to define what an Aveda is in terms of health.
Also, Hashavas Aveda has parameters.
Oh.
Hashavas Aveda is, as funny, a person, there are scenarios that says,
excellent.
You do Tavach Chacham, it doesn't have to return. So it's defined with
that was
parameters.
Too loud. Excellent. Right, so says Dr. Huberfeld, a beautiful point. This is exactly what Shlomo Kluger says. Rav Shlomo Kluger points out, if you look in the Gemara and Bava Metzia, there are a lot of situations where Hashavas Aveda doesn't necessarily apply. If, says the Gemara, it's a Talmud Chacham and he has to go into a McDonald's to go and retrieve something, let's just say. So you have Rav Shechter and he doesn't have to walk into McDonald's to go and retrieve something, even though he probably would, because, you know, he answers to anything. I'll save the story for another time. But any point is, he wouldn't have to meet in. You don't have to go Zakein Ve'enu Lefi Chavodo if it's beneath that person's dignity, or if it's a Tircha Yaseir, or if it's too much work, or if it's just really annoying. In that situation, in certain cases, Hashavas Aveda would not apply. And since Hashavas Aveda would not apply, if we're going to say that the real source for having to save someone is Hashavas Aveda, then there could be many situations where it just wouldn't apply. Leave Dr. Kellner alone during his family simcha. That could potentially be the case. If it's from Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Reyecha, though, there's nothing to do. You can't talk about it. What Dr. Singer's talking about is also a very good point. If it's a lav or an aseh, lo sa'amod al dam reyecha is more of a negative commandment where there's no, I guess, there's no measure of how much you have to spend for that, as opposed to a mitzvah aseh, to do the mitzvah of returning the lost object, there maybe there is a certain parameter as to how much you'd spend. So there's a bigger sugya over there as to how much you have to spend in general, even if it's lo sa'amod al dam reyecha, but not for us right now. But anyway, this is what Rav Shlomo Kluger says is actually the main difference as to whether we learn it out from Hashavas Aveda or if we learn it out from Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Reyecha. Now, Rav Shlomo Kluger brings a proof for this, and he says, the Gemara actually says that if there's a single woman who's going to go and save a single man in some way, and it's going to be weird, some whole thing that it's going to be very strange, in that situation, then maybe they wouldn't have to go and do something. And he says, this Gemara, we see very clearly right here, there are certain situations where you wouldn't have to go and do something because Hashavas Aveda. I guess this is always the ice skating dating question, right? I don't know, that's what I always remember. But anyway.
Isn't that called the question? The same Gemara.
Oh, very good, right. So the same Gemara talks about if you specifically don't save someone, then that's called a chas v'chodeh. Exactly, but we're talking about it in terms of parameters of chiyuv. So again, are you going to, is this person going to be happy? No, but we're talking about whether you're actually going to be chayuv to go ahead and save the person in that situation. Now, comes Rav Shlomo Kluger and he says, well, you know, I got to be intellectually honest. You know, they say a story about Rav Chaim Brisker, that he was going on a Prabha Shabbos. You know, everyone knows about a Prabha Shabbos, so he's getting up there. And I was going to try this on my Prabha Shabbos at Yelp, but it didn't work out that way. But apparently the Brisker Rav Chaim got up and he was going for this job and he was giving this amazing in-depth shiur based on the Rambam. And he was like 20 minutes into this hour-long shiur and he said, oh my gosh, I just realized there's another Rambam that's so serious. And he sat down and that was it. And everyone said, anyone with the intellectual honesty like that, that's the person we want to be our Rav. So during this year, I was going to try to do that. 5 minutes in, I was going to say, I just found something else that's so sad. I'm sorry, everyone. It would have been great. Everyone would have loved a 5-minute cheer, but decided not to go that route for this one. But anyway, Point is, what were we talking about now? Right, this idea of Shlomo Kugari says, I do have to be intellectually honest, because the Gemara does talk about when it comes to burying the dead, which is another mitzvah with association of another isser of leaving a dead body unburied, there it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's the biggest Talmud Chacham, whether it's someone who's way below his dignity to go ahead and do it, you certainly have to go and do it. So there are certain distinctions we can go ahead and have within there, but Rav Shlomo Kluger is not necessarily so convinced, and Rav Moshe certainly does not like this pshat of Rav Shlomo Kluger. So right now we're back to square one, but it's very important that we've developed that there are two potential sources for having to save someone. Number one, Lo Samur Adam Re'echa. You can't just stand by while something's happening to someone else. Shulchan Aruch Paskin's this way. And number two is the Hashevos Elo, this concept of Hashavas Aveda. Just like you'd have to return a lost object to somebody, for sure, you would have to go and return their life. But let's go more focused on our question in terms of what a doctor's responsibility is when people are just constantly hounding all of you. So comes, I guess that's the way to put it, right? Comes the Gemara in Nedarim, and this is source number four. Now, in order to understand this Gemara, this is what the Daf Yomi is going to come up to soon. In order to understand this Gemara, we have to understand what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah, this Gemara is on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis 41b. But the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches tells us that, let's say, the whole Maseches Nedarim is about, let's say I take a vow that I'm not going to get any benefit from you. So they're all different scenarios, all different cases of different vows that people can take. Important mussar for all of us. Our words matter. Doctors' words especially matter. Rabbis sometimes, but doctors for sure. So you got to make sure to go ahead and use your words properly. So the Gemara is constantly going through cases, at least for the first 18 daf so far in the Daf Yomi, of always talking about if someone made a neder, they're not going to do this, or they're going to eat this, or they're not going to eat that. So comes the Mishnah and tells us, let's say someone made a neder, I am not going to get any benefit whatsoever from Dr. Kellner. Again, I'm just picking on him because I see him right here. So I am not going to get any benefit from Dr. Kellner whatsoever. So the Mishnah says, when it comes to milei dinafshe, when it comes to him physically helping me, he's allowed to physically help me. But when it comes to milei dimamona, when it comes to financial matters or schar, then he's not allowed to help me in any way because I swore off any benefit from him. It's important to know what we're able to go ahead and create with just our mouth, something that's totally mutter to us, we have the capacity to go and make it usher me de oraisa just by saying, I swear or konam or I promise, whatever it is, that I am not going to get any benefit from this whatsoever. So now let's look at the Gemara with that background. So comes the Gemara in source number four. The Gemara in source number four is Nedarim Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Umar Pei Refuas HaNefesh, that Dr. Kellner is allowed to do Refuas HaNefesh in that situation if I swore off any benefit from him, but not Refuas Mamona. Hei Katani, what are we talking about? So what does this mean? When we say that he could do body saving or body help, but not financial help, what does this mean? So Ilema de Refuas Nefesh Bechinam, Refuas Mamon Beschar. So if what we're saying is that what it means is if he wants to treat me for free, that's fine, but if he wants me to pay him, that I'm not allowed to go ahead and do. Listen, and then the Gemara should have just said that. Mar Peyu Bechinam Ava Lo Beschar, that you're allowed to go and get treated for free, but not for schar. I'm sure a lot of people would love that. I swear everyone off, every doctor has to treat me for free, and bam, that's going to be great. Okay, we know that's not going to work, and the Gemara would have just said that. So what does it mean? Ela refuas nefesh gufo. When it comes to refuas nefesh, so that means I swore off any benefit from Dr. Kellner. If I walk by and he sees me break my leg, and he sees something, I shouldn't say me, he sees someone fall, and he sees someone get hurt, he is allowed to go and help in that situation. Refuas mamun behemto. But if he sees my car break down, and he's there to help me, and he's got the tire, are you handy with this stuff? Decent, right? All right, whoever's handy, someone's handy with this stuff. So then he would not be allowed to help me in that situation. Because that's refuas mamun, I swore off any benefit from him, that's not going to work. Good. Amar Abzutra Bartov Yamarav, Aval Omer Lo Sam Ploni Yafel Lo Sam Ploni Ralo. He's allowed to say for the animal, so I guess the modern day example for the car, you can say, oh yeah, go to John's and get an oil change, or go to this and go to that. That you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to actually treat anything. So again, this Gemara says that let's say I swore off any benefit from Dr. Kellner, he's still allowed to treat me physically, but my animal, he's not allowed to help. Comes the Ram over here in source number five and tells us something which is very fundamental to our topic. Says the Ram, what case are we talking about when it comes to this swearing off any benefit from Dr. Kellner? Umisukma b'shinichse rofe asurim ala chole, umishumachi lo yirpa behemtuk sheisham rofe acher, di'i lo shari the refuasa. So comes the Ram and tells us something very amazing. Says the Ram, so again, this case was that he is allowed to help me physically, but he's not allowed to help me with any of my animals, my cars, or anything along those lines. comes the Ran, and he says, the case where he's not allowed to help me with my possessions, that's where there's someone else who's able to go ahead and help me. If there was someone else who's able to go ahead and help me, then Dr. Kellner's off the hook because I swore off any benefit from him. But if there's nobody else who's able to help me in that situation with my car, with my animal, whatever it is, then Dr. Kellner would have to help me in that situation. So now, based on this, says the Ran, the fact that the Gemara tells us that he still has to fix me physically, that's true even if there are other doctors around. Just like in the case of him fixing my animal, I'm walking my dog, or Dr. Kellner's dog, we're walking the dog, and something happens. If no one else is around to help, he has to step up. If there are other people around, then he can't. When it comes to fixing someone physically, if you see someone fall, if someone comes over to you with their throat is hurting, their stomach is hurting, their this is hurting, their that is hurting, if it comes to physical helping someone, even if there are other doctors around, you still need to be the one to help. Comes the Ran, let's read the rest of this. So of course you're going to have to go and return the thing. If no one else is around to help me fix my animal or my car, Dr. Kellner's going to have to help me. Still, in our case with the doctor, where we're saying that Dr. Kellner has to help me physically, that's a situation where there are other doctors around. Still, he has to help me physically. Why? Because dahinu gufo lefi shelo min hakol adam zocha lehisrapos v'hachi isa birushalmi. Back to that thing we started with the Shulchan Aruch. Because not everyone is zocha to get fixed by just anyone. You and your patients have a very special bond and relationship. Yes, they may bother you. Yes, they may drive you crazy at all hours of the day. But you have been designated as the shliach to go ahead and help them cure from whatever ailments they are facing. It's a totally new way of looking at this. You are the shliach. That's what you have to do. And since that is the case, even if there are other doctors around, and Dr. Kellner's in the middle of this simcha, and there are 20 other doctors, Dr. Debbie's right here, sitting in the woman's, everything's all set. Still, you have to go and help that person, because you don't know, maybe you're supposed to be the person who saves that patient, and that's it. And nothing else is supposed to be. And since that's the case, even though you swore off any benefit from that person, you would have to help them. Now, where does this come from? What does it mean that we're not all zocha? We don't know who's going to be the one to save the person. So this comes from source number 6. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph.
When you say not everyone is zocha to be cured by a person, are we talking about the patient or the physician?
A little bit of both. I think the Gemara here, the Yerushalmi is talking about from the patient's perspective. And this Gemara we're going to see now is talking about from the patient's perspective, but it's also true from the doctor's perspective. But from the patient's perspective, let's read source number 6 and you'll see. Says the Gemara in source number 6, and this is what Rav Yashav points out is the source for this concept, that there are certain people that are meant to cure other people. Says the Gemara, and this is an important thing to think about, Kach Yisurin, when it comes to people who are facing Yisurin. Now it's important when we think about these Yisurin, you know, there are certain things that, you know, everyone has difficult times. Everyone goes through troubling times in whatever way, whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, in every way. Now, the difference between having a very difficult life and having a very difficult short time span is how long that thing happens for. Right? If someone's going through an illness and it's for 6 months, I just had a friend who just finished breast cancer, Baruch Hashem. So we kept talking constantly and I kept saying, hopefully this is going to be a 6 month blip. It was a little inconvenient, painful, whatever it was. And it's going to be, these 6 months were really rough and terrible in that capacity. And now you're past and hopefully that's going to be it. And we kept saying that to each other constantly. We kept talking about this. It's a blip. That's the goal. When things go on for a long time, then it's a lot harder, obviously. That's something which now determines more. So comes the Gemara and says, Kach Yisurin, when it comes to Yisurin, when it comes to difficult challenges, B'shasha Meshagrin Osan Al Ha'adam, when they're placed on a person, Mashbiyin Oso, so Hashem creates it in a way, Shelo Teilchu Ela B'Yom Ploni, that it's specifically appointed for that specific time, V'lo Tseitzu Ela B'Yom Ploni U'Bashah Plonis, it's not going to leave until this amount of time and that amount of time, V'Al Yedei Ploni, V'Al Yedei Sam Ploni, it's going to come through a certain shliach who's there to go ahead and save someone. And it's going to come through a certain type of medicine, a certain type of cure that's there to save that specific person. Now, a big yisod from our parsha, I don't mean to get into the parsha here, but a big yisod for our parsha is that a different way to view tefillah. You know, we daven constantly, and Baruch Hashem is such an amazing thing for us to do. We always refine it. We remember where it all comes from. But our goal is to try to be the answer to someone else's tefillos, be the answer to someone else's prayers. Right? You know, davening out loud sometimes is a little frustrating, but sometimes when you're able to see and you see someone, sometimes it's worth noting, going over everything okay, whatever it may be, being the answer to someone else's tefillos. That's what you guys all do constantly, every single day. And that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing to be part of. But says Rav Eliashiv, what we see from this Gemara, what we see from over here, is that when Hashem places Yisurin on a person, and again, going back to the Parsha Akedas Yitzchak and the various tests of Avraham Avinu, we're here to go through certain challenges and to go through certain tests and to see what we do in those times. Everyone's faced with them. So when you are faced with a certain challenge, it's determined how long it's going to be for, when it's going to start, when it's going to end, and who's going to be the one to save you. Now, that being the case, you might be that person. So your patient is going to be saved through you. So what gives you the right to go and turn them away at 11 o'clock at night or in the middle of that simcha? What gives you the right to go ahead and turn them away? Now, I'm not going to end this year on that because that's not, there's a big question we got to ask on that, which is, how do you know that you're that person? Right? So how do you, that's right. So we're assuming now that, oh, just because they signed up as your patient, that means that they're your person. But if they went to a different doctor, maybe that other doctor is supposed to be the one and they were, it was a match, like a shidduch. How do you know it's the right shidduch? So this is something that Rav Eliashiv brings up also. And we're going to have to understand and we're going to have to see how exactly we qualify that because that's not necessarily so clear. That's something which we're going to have to think about as well. So let's keep going. And this seems to be where we go. But the Ramban, and this is an important point also, the Ramban takes this further. And the Ramban says that this concept that we are the shliach to go and help someone else, don't worry, that's the end of the source sheets for now. Again, Dr. Huberfeld is going to email out to anyone who signed up for that sheet the long version of these sources so you'll have everything there. This was just shorthand so we can go and read some during this year. But says the Ramban, and I think this is an important point, and this is the part of the healthcare I guess I can relate to, is that it's important to know you shouldn't think, and it's very hard nowadays to not think this way because I know what the legal element looks like in this state and in this political climate. Shouldn't think, oh, why should I bother with this? It's just going to get me into trouble. It's just going to this. Like, why should I even say this? Because this opens up myself to this liability. You do have to protect yourself and you do have to be careful, obviously. But you shouldn't think like that. And you shouldn't say, oh, it's just so much easier if I just don't get involved in this because then this, if you're able to help someone, it's a big time mitzvah to go ahead and do so. And we should remember that, because sometimes we lose focus on that, and sometimes it's really tough, and sometimes it gets foggy, especially when people go through different types of experiences and whatever it is. So it's important just to remember the gravity of this mitzvah that you are all interacting with on a daily basis, every single second. You know, we talk in our money mindset chat we have Monday mornings. We like to just get ourselves in the proper perspective for the week. And the Chovos HaLevavos and the Shaar Bitachon talks about the fact that there are two reasons why we go to work. The reason, why do we have to go to work? Imagine, you have the son of the child of the richest person in the world. That person doesn't need to work, but still, they go to work. Well, why? Now, lahavdil, a million havdalos, Hashem can provide us with anything at any time. Yet, we spend the majority of our day, for the majority of our life, going to work. Why do we do so? So says the Chovos HaLevavos, there are two main reasons we go to work. Number one is because if we're just sitting home all day doing nothing, that leads to sin. That is a very dangerous place to be in. When we find people that are just doing nothing all day, that is very, very tough, and we have to make sure to keep ourselves occupied in some way. That's only one part, because you might say, oh, trust me, I'll be fine. I'm telling you, I'll be good. I say that to God constantly. God, like, I'm good. You know, I'll just sit here, I'm okay. But that's only part one. Part two, says the Chovos HaLevavos, is because we are put in these situations to be tested. And we are constantly tested throughout the day. People don't always talk so nicely to their doctors, don't always treat them the way that they should be treated. And you just go, yes, very good. And you just go and continue to be the heroes that you all are. And that is an amazing thing. But being constantly tested is an important point and something that we know that we deal with. Good. So now, with all of this, the Shulchan Aruch, yeah.
Right, so I'm taking it to what's that, I'll you date phony, right? So mm-hmm. You're the assigned person. Sort of a little challenging because, you know, a lot of patients come to you because you're on the plan.
Right, that's right? True.
So what we're saying is it's already ordained which plan they're going to be on.
That's what we say. Yeah, so we say it goes
on.
No, you're right. No, but I think we...
It was very different, right? It was fee-for-service, right? So it was a whole different relationship.
Totally. And look, doctors nowadays with the whole reimbursement situation, not always so fun. I get to see it on the other side again. But that could be part of it. The reason why this person got this job, and that's why they have this insurance. And you know, so we can always play it like that.
Yeah, but it makes it a little bit more schwer. You understand the kashmir?
Definitely takes away a little bit of like, wow, the hashgacha of this. But we've seen stories all the time of like that this person happened to run into that person at this time, and this doctor happened to become their doctor. And this, you're right. It definitely is a little bit tougher now. And the same thing with the Rambam going to medical school now. All these things, if we plug them into modern day things, it's a little bit tougher. But you know, we do believe that there's hashgacha and that Hashem is running the world in every element. So if Hashem made it that your plan takes it, I know for us, our company, we're constantly changing insurances. So if this person changed insurance to this, to that, and all of a sudden now they're covered by this doctor, unbelievable.
The rationale here is not that it's definitely going to be the case. The rationale is that there's a suffix, right? That this opens up to the possibility of suffix, and you're in a situation of suffix where there's a suffix that you have to, once you're stuck, you're in the situation where there may be me suffix. You're the person who's going to help this person. You're stuck.
So I think it's both. I think it comes like from Shemaim, obviously, it's Vadai who's the one that's supposed to be, but we have to treat it as a suffix that maybe you're the person that's the one that's supposed to save them. Yeah.
Does this situations in terms of does this apply the relationship with a goy? Is that Mishum Eva or this all is
Mishum? It's a very good question. Right now it seems to be talking mostly about Jewish patients for Lo Samal Armecha, but also again we have to recognize the severity of the situation. If someone's going to die, then Hashavas Aveda might apply, so that's a big machlokas in the Rishonim as well, whether Hashavas Aveda, Lo Samal Armecha, also we can't just stand by while someone's getting killed. We would have to step up. It might be a different level in terms of the, I guess, annoyance of how far you'd have to go, but in terms of the saving, you'd probably have to save as well. Yeah.
If you look at item number 4 in the first reference, in the first Maramakam, Lois Asik were foiling Kenu Bucky.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of specialists.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we specialize, that means that we're really good at one thing, but we're really bad at everything else.
Yeah.
And,
hope that's not true.
You know, the person coming up to you may not, maybe, are you really a Bucky? Or are you just more Bucky than the lawyer who's sitting next to you?
So you have to know, right? You have to know the situation. If you're sitting in shul next to someone, let's say someone...
Who's determined into Bucky? You?
So,
or the patient.
So we have to understand this is coming in the 1500s. This is coming in the 1500s with Shulchan Aruch. You know, so I think it's a little, I think if anyone went through basic medical school back in the days of the 1500s, they'd be considered a Bucky in that way. Nowadays, there are different levels of Buckies. But if someone comes over to you and you don't feel like you're able to help them, you shouldn't help them. If you feel like there is something that you could do, but you're in the middle of this simcha, you're in the middle of this, and you know, that's where this question comes up. If you don't feel that you're the right person to help them, you shouldn't be helping them anyway. So that's totally unrelated. If you feel like you see someone has a stomach, throat, whatever it is, and you know that there's a stomach specialist there, there's a foot specialist there, send them, you have to know how to make referrals. That's a big rabbi question also, right? Rabbis are not mental health professionals often, and they have to know how to make referrals also. You have to know what you know and what you don't know, and that's a very important point. You have to be able to do the proper thing. So here we're talking about a situation where you could be the right person to go ahead and do so. Do you have to be the person to go ahead and do so if you're off shift, you're off duty, you're finally away with your family? You know, I'm sure, I'd love to hear where all of you go to vacation to get away a little bit, because I'm sure it's probably really far away from anyone that you'll recognize, but that's the concept of how far do you have to go. But you're right, if you're not the right person to do it, you should not be doing it. Correct, right. So there's got to be someone that's better for you there, yeah.
I just want to make a point that when it says somebody is Tovea Bayam, if you can't swim, don't jump in. That's rule number one. Number two is that life and faith have very long time horizons. And you may be the person who's called upon to see this patient. If you're not the shaliach, you're not going to be successful in taking care of him. And the next one might not be successful. And the third one might not be successful. And you know what might happen? Either the fourth one may be successful or nobody will be successful. And the answer is that person is not going to be made well by any shaliach. And that's Hashem's will.
That could be, but you still have to do your shtalos. We still have to try to see whatever we could do. But now comes Rav Yashav. And Rav Yashav was asked this question again by how we started with the doctor in his community that was being harassed because people were going and asking him constantly. He said, listen, I need a break, burnout. I got to try to keep some time for myself. And they said, Harezeb shoyfich damim, you are chayav misa because you're not serving. He said, Rabbi, come on, give me a break here. Rabbi, can you write a tshuva, please? Have my back, so that way people will get off my back just a little bit. So Rav Yashav writes that maybe all of this shiloh comes down to our first gemara, that it depends where the source is from. Because if it's from Hashavas Aveda, we were initially saying Hashavas Aveda has exceptions. Right? We were saying maybe if it's below the dignity, beneath the dignity, or if it's too tiresome or burdensome, whatever it may be, comes Rav Yashav, he says, if it's from Hashavas Aveda, everyone is chayav for Hashavas Aveda, even if there are a lot of people around. Imagine you're in a huge sea of people, and so many people have the opportunity to go and return this lost object. Every individual is chayav to go ahead and do so. It's not just the person, oh, there's so many other people that can do it. No, everyone's chayav to do so. So maybe if it's from Hashavas Aveda, then even if there are other doctors around who could save, Dr. Kellner's in the middle of getting the aliyah at whatever simcha it is, but And yeah, there are other people around, but it's Hashem HaSameida. He has to go ahead and do so. He has to step down and go and do it. But if we say it's from Lo Samud Al Dam Re'echa, so that you just can't stand by and watch this happen to someone, if there are other people around that could help you, then they can go ahead and do it. You don't have to be the one to do it. And then Rav Eliashiv goes even further. Even if we hold that it's from Hashem HaSameida V'Hashiv Osilo, we have to understand, is what Dr. Yeager was talking about before, we have to define what exactly is a Aveda in this situation. What's considered lost? Is it just, again, a paper cut? Does cosmetic surgery count for this? What's considered something that's a lost object? Maybe that's only life or death. And otherwise, leave the doctors alone. So this is what Rav Eliashiv has to say. He says, maybe it's dependent on these Gemaras. Again, we have to use our common sense. If there's an emergency and you're able to help, great. If there's something that you feel like you're not the right person for, don't be that person to help. If there's something where you think that it could wait till tomorrow, great. All of these things come down ultimately to this common sense, but it's important that this burnout concept is a real thing in halacha as well. We have to put ourselves in situations where you're best able to go and do your work. That means doing your vacations as you need. That means taking your time off as you need. That means keeping yourself as fresh as possible. Now it's very difficult, especially with all the questions going around, and you're all hounded and this and that, and everyone's always asking, this and that. Modi was not wrong. Yes, there are a lot of aches and pains. My neck's killing me right now, so I'm going like this constantly. There are a lot of aches and pains that go around, especially within the Jewish people, but it's important that we know the sugya. So can doctors ever take off? Yeah, go take off. Go enjoy. Maybe go far away. Don't see people. Go and start your own, go have your own separate islands. That way you can, you know, leave each other alone and have a great time, whatever it is. But it's important that we know the sugya here. So let's again just go through for 1 second. We have the Shulchan Aruch that says that there are certain people that are meriting to go and help others. Because again, Rav Eliashiv raises this point, and he says, how do you know that you're supposed to be that person? Meaning, initially we wanted to say that even if there are other people around, how can you go and give it off to someone else? Maybe you're supposed to be the person that saves that patient. And the answer is, maybe that other person is supposed to be that person who say, maybe when you're off and there's someone else, you're sending them to a different doctor, maybe that person's going to be the one to be Zocha. Changes the relationship between patient and doctor, though. It's something certainly to think about, that you are the answer to their prayer. Something certainly to think about. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Arizah Shofech Damim. And then we went into the Gemara with the two sources, Lo Samud Al Dam Re'echa, V'Hashev Osilo. We went into the Machlokas, which one's the real source. Rav Shlomo Kluger had this whole idea. Maybe there are some exceptions to V'Hashev Osilo. We then went into the whole Gemara and Nedarim about if I make a swear or a neder that I'm not going to benefit from Dr. Kellner, he has to help me with my body, but not with my money. And that was with other people around, because maybe he's supposed to be the one who's supposed to save me. But we pointed out from Rav Eliashiv, not necessarily always true in that way, and there's a lot certainly to discuss.
Sort of maybe like the flip side of it. If you don't have an issue with people calling you when you're not on call, mm-hmm. What if it's like you're not on call and it's Shabbos, let's say? Like, are you allowed? Like, but you have a patient you're worried about. Can you take your phone?
Right, so again, you have to really weigh the situation. If it's something that you feel like you're the person who could save them in a way that would actually save them, then you do have to do that. It'd be pikuach nefesh. But if you feel like you have a system in place where if this person has a major issue on Shabbos, they can go to that person and get the same level of care, probably not. So you have to know, based on the patient, based on your relationship with them, it could be that they're not going to be able to be understood except for by you, because you know their whole history. And that's how everyone's going to always come to you. Oh, you know my whole history. I can't just go to some other person. Even though I've been hearing a lot of stories, I was talking to Rabbi Glatt for a minute, and he was telling me people are going over to him constantly asking him these detailed questions. I'm sure you all get this too. These detailed questions about something you can only know if you've known that person for quite some time. I want you to prescribe me this and prescribe me that. I don't know who you are. How am I supposed to do this? Rabbi Trump was just telling me on his way out that someone walked over to a doctor and said, like, oh, you know, this, and this doctor wouldn't prescribe me this. Can you prescribe it for me? He's like, I'm sorry, what's your name? What is going on here? What's that?
Rabbi Trump can't prescribe.
Right, no, he cannot prescribe. But he was telling me that a doctor was just telling him. But this idea that people are coming over constantly, so you have to know the relationship, you have to know the bigger picture. Each question is so detail-oriented and specific to those cases, but there's so much there. And really, that all of you would come out on a Motzei Shabbos at 8:30. I'm blown away. Thank you all so much.